It's time for the Las Vegas Sports Line. Brought to you by Caesars Entertainment, where every guest is treated like Caesar, and every visit is unforgettable.
And here we go. It's the Wednesday edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. It is our Caesars Wednesday. Jeff Davis, Director of Trading from Caesars Entertainment, with us right now on the phone. Teddy Covers is here. I'm Dave Koch, and Jared Justice is producing. Before we get to anything, let me get you a quick scoreboard update. Games in progress, Pac-12, USC putting away Arizona 73-57. That game was tied at the half. All Trojans at the second half. There's about 3 minutes and change to go in that basketball game, so that is over. Fordham and Richmond, that's a close one, 32-30 in the Atlantic 10. Midway through the second half, Idaho is 22-21 against Montana State early first half, Big Sky, and Wyoming off to a good start against New Mexico down the street at the Thomas and Mack, leading 22-11 in the early going. Final scores, Virginia Tech pounded Miami. That was never a ball game, and Virginia Tech wins it going away 71-56. Southern Utah, big second half. They beat Idaho State 94-80. It was Boise State pretty much wire-to-wire against Colorado State, 66-57. Mild mini-upset, I guess you could say. George Washington, 68-64 in overtime over UMass. NC State and Clemson, 59-58. We'll talk about that game a little bit. And Sacramento State beat Northern Arizona, 72-60. All right, guys, we're going to get a lot of basketball in, but before we do that, let's talk some football, Jeff. All right, the Browns now have Odell Beckham. And the Steelers' stars are moving on, and the Ravens' defense is now down three key guys. So is everybody betting the Browns at this point?
Yeah, we lowered the Browns from 18-1 to 15-1 when they signed Beckham. We were already on the low side knowing the public is in love with the Browns. It was only going to continue. And as soon as we moved to 15-1, we got whacked a couple of times. So we're now at 12, and all the money just keeps coming. Still a winner to them in that pool, but that's probably not going to be the case soon. All Browns all the time right now.
Yeah, well, when you look at the division, it's not just Cleveland getting better.
Right.
You know, it's Pittsburgh without Beckham and Bell moving forward. It's the Ravens who've lost not one, not two, three key defenders from that Baltimore defense that are now getting paid elsewhere. So we talk about this division. It looks to me like Cleveland's a clear favorite in 2019. Are you expecting to price the Browns that way? And, you know, obviously the Bengals are in the mix, but nobody's talking about Cincinnati a whole lot at this time of the year, deservedly so.
Yeah, we're going to open our NFL division odds here in a few days. I would make, off the top of my head, I would make Cleveland a small favorite over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh still has a lot going for them. Juju's still there. Connor can really carry the rock. I'm not writing them off yet. With the Ravens, while they're losing parts on their defense, I'm not really sold that Lamar Jackson is a guy you can, anchor the wagons to and have him lead you to a successful season. I think they're a little bit more of a distant price than the Steelers and the Browns, and then with the Bengals way out.
How about moving the needle on the teams that picked up the two Pittsburgh stars, the Jets getting Bell and the Raiders getting Antonio Brown, and apparently going to add some other pieces as well. Anything happening with them?
The Jets, we move just from 60 to 50. They get Le'Veon Bell. They get Jamison Crowder. They get C.J. Mosley. The problem with them is they still have an offensive line that is, poor at best. Will they be better? Sure. How much better they're going to be? I'm not sure. As far as the Raiders go, they're our biggest liability in the pool right now. We opened them 150-1 back in January. That money kept coming. We're as low as 50-1, and given they're moving to Vegas, it doesn't really matter who they get. The Raider money's going to keep coming.
Is that the way it is now with the Raiders? Are they the public team for the Las Vegas locals, or is it still spread out? There used to be a whole bunch of public teams. Have the Raiders taken that mantle away from everybody else?
We've started to get more Raider money, although we've already, given we have properties up in northern Nevada, them being up in Oakland, the Raiders were a popular team for us, but now even more so. The Bears are and will always be the most popular public team in these future markets, and with the Browns doing what they're doing, they'll be just as popular, but the Raiders have kind of moved into one of the top three or four ticket count teams as far as the Super Bowl market goes.
And it's interesting because note the teams you did not mention, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers of the world, the teams that historically have gotten more quote-unquote public action than anybody.
Yeah, when we lowered the Browns, we bumped up the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Steelers, and looking at the future pool liability, the Steelers is the single best result we could have right now. There is very, very little interest. We moved them up to 20-1, and given the way things are going, we'll probably go up even higher.
All right, now Caesars Entertainment, this is a big company, okay? They write a lot of business. Has anybody bet the New York Giants? I'm talking any of the properties. Do you have a single future ticket on the Giants?
It's funny you mention that, Dave, because they were one of those teams for years that you're going into the season with a big red number on the Giants to win the Super Bowl. It didn't matter what price you offered. We moved from 40 to 75, and frankly, we probably should be at 750. I have no idea what they're trying to do.
Neither do they.
Seemingly, every good player they have is playing for someone else, and they keep Eli. So I really don't know what they're trying to accomplish.
It really is. It's comical. All right, let's talk some March Madness, and we had a bid stolen last night. I don't care about what they're talking about. Well, they were on the bubble. St. Mary's was not going to get
an
NCAA tournament bid. They just were not going to get a bid if they didn't win last night. I look, I'm not suggesting anything underhanded took place, but it's almost as if Gonzaga did him a favor last night. It's good for the conference. They got two teams in now, and Gonzaga's still going to be a number one seed. So, you know, great win for St. Mary's. Are they a team that you can see maybe getting some betting attraction in the opening round? No matter who they play, they're probably going to be like a 12 seed. And that sounds like it's going to be one of those 12-5 deals where the public loves the 12, with St. Mary's being a popular West Coast team, Jeff.
Yeah, and I look at Randy Bennett's history. He made the tournament, I believe, six times as coach of St. Mary's. He's lost in the first round in four of them. And he's had a lot better entries in the past than he has this year. New Mexico State, really their biggest win all year before last night. I'm not sure if this team can win a game in the tournament. It's all going to come down to who they play.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if Wofford ends up on that 12 line, by the way. I don't know where they're going to get seated, but that team is really scary. They're good. I mean, they're legitimately good. They're a top 40 team, and if they get underseeded, that's going to be one where I think you'll end up with a liability on them.
I totally agree. They're going to be one of the cases where if they get seeded down in the 11-12 range, they'll probably be a favorite in the first round against one of those, you know, fifth or sixth place ACC Big 12 type teams. I would totally agree that we will need to beat Wofford in the first round.
So St. Mary stole a bid last night, which means that makes the bubble a little bit smaller with the Arizona States and the St. John's. I'm just looking at the last four in, last four out. Florida, Texas, Temple, NC State, TCU, and Clemson, who we will talk about
out
in a minute. Yeah. they were the last four in the last. Indiana, Creighton, Belmont, Ohio State, all in the mix. With all of these teams on the bubble and the bubble getting one team smaller last night, are you seeing extra betting attention for the must-win teams? Are you pricing them any differently than you would otherwise with the bubble shrinking by the day?
No, not really. The prices are what they are, and they are what they should be. Sometimes some of the lines might have a half a point or a point baked into it, but your more intelligent clientele are going to know what the prices are and bet accordingly, so you can't really get too far outside the norm in terms of the must-win situations. Generally speaking, you get one of these teams opposing one of these must-win teams, you might be able to find a good price, and I've learned in the past that fading those teams might be the way to go.
All right, let's talk about the big tournaments. And I notably did leave the Pac-12 out of this because it's just, they're not a major conference this year. If they want to pretend they are, that's fine, but they're not. So we're talking Big 10, Big 12, ACC, SEC, and the Big East because it's just the best event out there. So let's start with the Big 10. Who's the betting favorite right now, and who's your favorite, Jeff?
This is the toughest one I've had in trying to come up with a clear winner because, you know, the way Michigan State has been playing, they look as tough as anyone, but they don't really have an easy draw. Ohio State, Indiana winner is not going to be any picnic in the first round. I feel like the bottom of the bracket might be where you want to be. Purdue getting to face, you know, maybe an upstart Penn State team, but Penn State or Minnesota seems to be a slightly easier matchup for Purdue. I think whoever comes out of the bottom of that Big Ten bracket is going to win.
Teddy, Ohio State still being mentioned as a team that has a chance to get in. Do they deserve a bid, and will they win a game and stay alive for that bid?
No and no.
There you go.
I mean, you know, if you're talking Ohio State versus Indiana, I think the case is much stronger for the Hoosiers.
So do I, especially with the injuries that occurred in the middle of the season be factored in, too.
And current form matters.
Yeah.
You know, Indiana's playing good ball, right? I mean, if you're looking for a sleeper from the bottom of the pack, I might look at the Hoosiers. But on the other hand, you know, the info that I've been reading from it, yeah, a lot of times Izzo, when he has a national championship caliber team, doesn't go balls to the wall in the Big Ten tournament. But this year, with all the injuries and attrition, Michigan State's just kind of coming together now. I wouldn't be surprised if Izzo goes for it this weekend in a way that he usually doesn't.
Big 12 is fun this year. I mean, it's a really good quality league. There's a couple of teams at the bottom who aren't very good. We'll talk about their games today. But even they're not terrible teams. They're just weak in the Big 12. But the top of the conference, you've got a real battle going here. And you've got Texas Tech. You've got Kansas State. Kansas is still going to get attraction. And one thing I'm seeing, at least, and you can talk about this, Jeff, people aren't giving up on, let's just say that, and I think it's Sharp Market, is not giving up on Iowa State just yet and think that they're going to turn it on now that this tournament is here.
No, you're right, Dave, and Texas Tech is a big, clear favorite in the betting market to win this tournament, with Kansas, K-State, and Iowa State all priced roughly the same. Iowa State really kind of hit the skids toward the end of the year, as did Baylor. K-State figures to get one of those two teams in the semifinals. As good of a defensive team as you're going to see. I kind of like K-State to come out of this.
And you talk about Texas Tech as being a team that is the clear favorite right now. From a betting market standpoint, the Red Raiders' stats are just off the charts. I think they're going to be a very hard team to make money with here in March, even though they're a really good team, and in theory we want to be betting on them. You know, their advanced metric stats are through the roof, and I think that is going to create quite an interesting betting marketplace for the Red Raiders. The wise guys just seem to love that team.
They do. We actually took a quite intelligent bet on them to win the Big 12 about an hour ago at 8-5.
And Kansas is a team that we always have to talk about when it comes to the Big 12 tourney. They've certainly had plenty of success in this tournament in years past, and yet it seems like the Jayhawks right now, almost an afterthought in the Big 12 marketplace.
Yeah, they are. They've been kind of hot and cold this year. You look up and they get a really big win at home, and then, you know, they went to Texas Tech and got run out of the building. So what team are you going to get? I don't know.
ACC, I just call it like this. Virginia has no excuse. They should win this tournament. And North Carolina's still in there. Duke's still in there. I mean, it's not going to be an easy road, but if Virginia is what they want us to believe they are, they need to win this tournament. I know it's not, you know, the big dance is still more important, but they need to show they can win some big games, Jeff.
Totally agree. Complete tank job last year, and they've come back and played even better. Haven't lost a game to anyone not called Duke. And the bracket really sets up nicely for them, assuming Duke and Carolina play in the semifinals and Virginia does what they're supposed to do. They'll get to play the winner of that game the day after them playing each other. Totally agree, Dave. Virginia needs to win the ACC tournament, and I think they will.
And, I mean, Roy, the old joke used to be that Roy Williams would have a tee time set for Saturday. Here's a North Carolina team that is looking at a number one seed, has nothing to prove in this tournament, and everything to lose in this tournament. Are you seeing any indication that the betting markets are going to be soft on the Tar Heels this weekend?
I don't think so. The public tends to look past, you know, last year, 2 years ago. They watched the North Carolina Duke game a few days ago, and that's what they'll remember. It should be a good one. Duke's not healthy. We'll see what Zion does or doesn't do. But again, I I don't think either of those teams beat Virginia on Saturday.
In the SEC, there's a number one overall seed, or number one seed, I should say, on the line. Kentucky and Tennessee, if they get to the finals and battle one another, the winner of that game would get a number one seed. But the most interesting story in this conference is going to be LSU, without their head coach, Will Wade, who's been suspended. They got through the first game, but that was against Vanderbilt, which, you know, it's Vanderbilt. This is going to be a lot tougher. How do you weigh this in terms of making a number? Because I think the popular thought, and I don't disagree with this, Jeff, is that there could be a distraction factor for LSU.
Yeah, and it's baked into the price, Dave. They're the third choice currently in the SEC tournament, obviously behind Kentucky and Tennessee, and all of the money, sharp and square, is on Kentucky and Tennessee. And the more you look at it, the more you want to think that the winner of that game, assuming it takes place, is the winner of the tournament. LSU has so much going on off the court, and, you know, outside of those three teams, yeah, Mississippi State is all right, Auburn is all right, but it's Kentucky or Tennessee for me.
Right, so in terms of action, are you seeing anything on Ole Miss or Florida or any of these? You know, I thought the SEC was pretty good this year. Yeah. You know, Mississippi State was a good team. South Carolina, even though they only went 16-15 overall, had 11 wins in the conference, although they're banged up beyond belief. But when you look at the middle of the pack in the SEC, are you seeing any future work action, or is it all Kentucky, Tennessee right at the top?
To win the SEC tournament, we actually took some 8-1 and some 6-1 on Auburn from someone we respect. And then the public just sees 5-1 on an LSU number one seed, and you know the public's really putting the money in on LSU. But outside of those four teams, there's been very, very little interest in the SEC tournament.
Everybody's from back east knows how good this tournament is at Madison Square Garden every year. The Big East tournament really is sensational. And this year's tournament, while I don't think there's a great team in the conference, it's a spectacular tournament because the league is completely balanced this year. Anybody can go on a hot streak here.
Totally agree. Villanova, the number one seed, phenomenally coached. But they've shown they've been a little bit vulnerable lately. Marquette has really hit the skids. And you wonder if maybe the winner of Georgetown, Seton Hall can go on a run here. Maybe they get to play Marquette or you know, St. John's DePaul. I think the bracket sets up favorably for the winner of that matchup.
Yeah, and Seton Hall, by the way, now they have to guard against letting down in this tournament, actually, because they accomplished what they needed to at the end of the season, and they're going to make the tournament now. But you look at a team like, oh, I don't know, St. John's, for instance. They've got DePaul tonight. We're going to look at that game in the 4-4 coming up, but there are a couple of teams in this conference that I think really need to win to have a chance to stay alive and play at the big dance.
Yeah, totally agree, and we'll talk about it later, but that DePaul-St. John's game should be a good one.
All right.
Are you seeing any interest in a team that, you know, certainly played much better basketball down the stretch, Xavier, who was, you know, pretty bad for much of January into February, and then all of a sudden,
but then threw in a clunker in what was their biggest game of the year to end the season. So,
sure.
You know, that's welcome to the Big East.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, that's a team that potentially could offer some value in a conference that has no clear. I mean, Nova's a clear-cut favorite, but Nova's shown a lot of vulnerability of late.
Yeah, they're our second highest ticket count in the Big East tournament behind Marquette. Sharp and square money weighing in on Marquette. They are our biggest liability in the Big East tournament. And, you know, they haven't shown much of late, but we shall see.
Well, we're going to see right now because we've got two Big East and two Big 12 games to look at in today's MJ Christensen 4-4.
1, 2, bring it to the four.
Put the fours up. Put the fours up, I said. Do it right now.
Tonight's action is just around the bend, and the guys want to get your night off to a great start.
Four.
It's the Las Vegas Sports Lines. 4-4.
Not one, not two, not three, but four.
Unbelievable.
Starting off with Butler and Providence College. Crowd will be with Providence College here. They just shoot down the highway. It's only about 3.5 hours. They'll have a big crowd there. They always do. Ed Cooley owned this guy twice during the season. I got to tell you, I didn't bet the game. So I can tell you right now it's a winner because everything I don't bet wins. I think the Friars get the best of Butler here. What's happening with the line of that game, Jeff?
the public is all over Providence. We took a bet from a guy we really respect, Butler plus 1.5. The same guy bet St. Mary's plus 15 last night. So you got to respect it a bit. We went to pick him, and then that didn't last very long. We're Providence minus 1 now. Like you said earlier, Providence handled Butler on Saturday. They really shot the lights out on Saturday. I'm not sure that happens again. I like Butler a little bit tonight. The winner gets Villanova. Nova been vulnerable lately, but they've hammered both of these teams. I would expect the winner tonight doesn't get to play more than one more game.
And one thing I almost never do in conference tournament action, I don't want to follow the money. You know, especially in these games that are bouncing around, pick them, and, hey, I could have taken one, and now I'm laying 1.5 or 2. It's like it's a surefire way to give yourself trouble. So if I liked Providence earlier, I wouldn't like him anymore at the current price.
St. John's looked like they were locked into the NCAA tournament a couple of weeks ago. They're not anymore. And they're in a must-win game tonight against a team they lost to twice in the regular season. You would think the court advantage has to be with St. John's. They're used to playing in the Garden, and they're the New York City team. But they've evidently had some problems matching up with DePaul. They got to get out and guard the big kid who throws in threes like they're layups for DePaul. What's going on with the betting in this game?
Number's been 5 all day. Took one decent-sized bet on DePaul. All the small stuff is on St. John's. Johnny's been giving up a ton of points lately, and DePaul likes to put up points on the board. I expect this one to be a real fun one. DePaul beat St. John's both times this year. We know the old adage about doing it 3 times, but like you said, Dave, the matchup's a little bit difficult. I expect this game to be played in the 80s. Should be a good one.
And Ralph Michaels put together a real nice study over at Wager Talk. They went back and looked at what happens. You know, you can't beat teams 3 times. And they went back and looked at all the third meetings over the last decade. And you know what it is? ATS? 50-50. Yep.
Now, there was, however, one area that did stand out, and that was double revenge favorites of more than 3 points. They've actually done really well. They must be double revenge. They must be favored by more than 3 points. So if you want to follow an angle, St. John's would be the side there. TCU, Jeff, they're another team that is they're in a must-win situation. They cannot lose to Oklahoma State, and they might need more than that to get to the tournament.
Agree. They've really gone on a tailspin the last 3 weeks before closing out the season with a win at Texas. Oklahoma State, really off year for them. Closing the season with 2 straight wins. Yep. Maybe they got a little momentum going. No sharp interest here at all. Number's been 4 all day. Public all over TCU. Absolute must win for TCU, like you said. The way they've been going, I'm not so sure.
And, you know, Okie State covered both meetings with room to spare. They gave them a battle in Waco in the first meeting, and then the second meeting was, they beat them outright at home as underdogs. And I'm with you. I do not like the way TCU played down the stretch, although that last season finale win at Texas could be a positive sign moving forward.
And let's go to one more game, and that's West Virginia against Lon Kruger's Oklahoma Sooners. And like last year, not quite as spectacular this year, but not that far from it. Oklahoma, J.D., another second-half swoon by the Sooners. And they I think they're going to get in anyway, but they could lock down the spot with a win against West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia's been pretty much a train wreck for most of the season. They haven't won a true road game all year. I know this isn't a true road game, but that kind of tells you how much guts the team has. Oklahoma won 4 of their last 6. Very, very well coached. They got wins against some good sides. Kruger have his side ready. I would lay the points before taking them tonight.
And boy, from a point spread standpoint, you know, the Sooners for this season, a 67% ATS team.
They couldn't miss early on.
The Mountaineers for this season, a 33% ATS team. One team's been making everyone who's back in the money, and the other team has been costing everyone who's back in the money. So you know where the bandwagon is for this game.
Tomorrow, we've got one of the really big events on the PGA Tour. At Sawgrass, it's the TPC. Tiger's in the field, which means there's always going to be a lot of betting, although he's not one of the favorites this week, Jeff.
No, he's not. But the way his game is now kind of it suits this course nicely because this isn't a bomb and gouge course. You can't really take driver a lot here, which is what he's struggling with. His iron game has been excellent, which is very important. And I actually was kind of interested in maybe taking a flyer on him until I looked at the wind forecast and the tee times. It looks like Thursday afternoon is going to be a whole heck of a lot tougher than Thursday morning. So I've kind of eliminated anybody that's starting in the afternoon on Thursday. They're going to be in a big disadvantage.
There you go. That's some good advice for people looking to bet the event. For morning guys on Thursday, you might be giving yourself an advantage. NHL wild card chases, boy, they're fun. Stars and Coyotes now 7-8 in the West. Ben Bishop is unbelievably hot in goal for Dallas. His third straight shutout last night. That might be the difference that gets Dallas into the playoffs. How about the Coyotes now in the eighth spot? Great win for them last night on the road. Wild and Avalanche right behind. Even the Blackhawks and Oilers still in the hunt. This is pretty good stuff, Jeff.
Oh, it's great. Monday, we put up some yes-nos, teams to make the playoffs or teams to win the division. Been updating them every morning. You know, we have yes-no Arizona, Wild, Colorado. I think Colorado's in a big spot of bother without Landeskog. They're a one-line team, Landeskog, Rant, and MacKinnon. Without him, it's a huge chunk of production they're not going to have. The Stars are only 2 points behind St. Louis. Catch him for third, but the Blues have a super easy schedule. The Stars probably get in. I was looking through the Wild schedule. The Wild's last eight games, at Washington, at Carolina, home Nashville, at Vegas, at Arizona, home Winnipeg, home Boston, at Dallas.
Wow.
As tough as it comes. Arizona still has Anaheim, Edmonton, Florida, New Jersey, and the Kings on the schedule. Are the Wild a better team? Probably, but I'm looking at the schedules, and I think the Wild are in trouble, too.
You know, and Dallas could catch St. Louis. I mean, I know the Blues have a reasonably easy schedule, but they're also not going to have Tarasenko for another week or so, maybe two, and they're not the same team without him on the ice.
No, you're right. Ever since they put Braden Schenn on the line with Tarasenko and Ryan O'Reilly, that team has been a buzzsaw, and of course they're going to miss him. It kind of showed against San Jose this weekend. I think they've got enough and will do enough to stay in the three spot. I would be shocked if they fall out of the playoffs. But, yeah, they surely need him back to win a playoff series.
And in the East, Carolina, Columbus, Montreal battling for the wild cards. Looks like Penguins have kind of put themselves in a good position now to make the playoffs, which the NHL is probably happy about. I don't know what's going to happen with the Carolina, Columbus, Montreal trio because they're all playing good hockey. None of the teams are rattling, and even the Flyers are still kind of in the hunt.
Yeah, I still stand by what I talked about last week about Montreal probably on the outside looking in. They're really not a great road team, and they still have to go to Islanders, Flyers, Hurricanes, Jackets, Winnipeg Jets, and the Caps. Columbus big win against Boston last night to kind of right the ship. I still make Montreal a favorite to not be playing in the playoffs. And I also think Carolina is very good. If they get any goaltending at all in the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised for them to be my choice to lose to Tampa in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Lots of great stuff going on around town with March Madness here, and among the top events will be one taking place at the Link. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, the Link. Great setup there. Couches, private seating, all-you-can-eat buffets, bottle service, all-you-can-drink, various price points for various budgets. All include different things. They're up to groups of eight, so you can break down the cost. It's one-day seating. You book it for the day. You have it from start to finish. Great place to watch the tournament. Our mobile app is open 24/7 every day, so it doesn't matter what time of day it is. If you want to get down, you can get down. Great stuff.
It sure is, and that sounds like a blast down at the Link. What a great place to hang out with people enjoying the same stuff you are, rooting just as hard. Might not be on the same side all the time, but that's part of what makes these big events, Teddy, that makes them so much fun to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick between, you have a bucket list event in Vegas, you get March Madness, opening weekend of March Madness, you get Super Bowl, it'd be March Madness for me. It goes, it's so much longer. Super Bowl's 3 hours, 4 hours. You know, one day of March Madness is all day, all night. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It's unbelievable stuff. Make sure to follow Jeff Davis on Twitter. I always misplace the underscores. Is it at the underscore junkyard or at underscore the junkyard?
The underscore junkyard.
Oh, I know it was in there someplace. I got it right the first time. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week, man. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Jeff Davis, Director of Trading at Caesars Entertainment. Quick break for us. We come back. We'll update all the basketball scores. We'll get to our Joe's Angle of the Day, and we will look at our baseball preview team today. It's the Padres.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
Get the scoreboard update in a minute. We got one game coming right down to the wire. It looks like the dog might get the money in that one if it stays out of overtime. We'll tell you about that in a second. First, our angle of the day. From Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Make a reservation, 702-792-9222, I think. I'm blanking on the number today. I blank on this number like once a month. And so I might have given you the wrong phone number right now, but it's real easy. Just check out Joe's on Google. And the numbers, you don't even have to need the number. You just press call, and it'll connect you, and you're all set.
So we get to bet against one of the worst home favorites in the NBA tonight for the angle of the day.
Warriors?
No.
Okay, because they're one of the worst home favorites.
This team is 3-14-1 against the number their last 18 tries.
Well, that's not good at all.
4-11 against the spread their last 17 at home. That team, the Miami Heat. Meanwhile, the Pistons, their opponent tonight, the underdog tonight, coming off a very ugly loss in Brooklyn, they're 7-2 against the spread their last 9, even after that ugly loss. So the Joe's angle of the day says take the Pistons plus the 2. If you shop around, you can find better than that in Miami this evening.
The Fordham-Richmond game is coming down to the wire. There are 11 seconds to go in that game. And it is a 50-48 Richmond lead. Richmond, by the way, 4-for-10 from the foul line in the game. But Fordham's only 4-for-8, so you can't really look at that and say, hey, they made their free throws, because the other team could have made their free throws as well. Idaho and Montana State, that is into the second half. Montana State appears to be taking control over the pathetic Vandals, 46-36. Wyoming leading New Mexico at the half, 38-27 here in the Mountain West. Earlier winners, USC got the win and cover against Arizona, 78-65. We have Virginia Tech easily over Miami, 71-56. Idaho State and Southern Utah, the Thunderbirds, 94-80, a big second half for them. Boise State beat Colorado State 66-57. George Washington over UMass in overtime, 68-64. Clemson lost to NC State, and I don't want to hear about, yeah, the officials got it wrong at the end of the game. Clemson got it wrong, okay? I grant you, the officials blew the end of the game, but I'm sorry. You got a big lead like that, learn how to run an offense, okay? Clemson does that all the time.
That being said, the officials blew the game.
Yes, they did.
You just swallow it. If you don't see it, because Clemson blew that game early. That lead was all gone.
They should never let NC State back in the game, and they did, because they don't know how to
run the offense. By the six-minute mark of the second half, the lead was all gone.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't like at the end. I mean, at the end, they played winning defense and got penalized for it.
Yes, but they put themselves in that situation. Brad Brunell's a stiff. Okay. Sacramento State beat Northern Arizona 72-60. And I believe there's 1 second to go in the Richmond game. They lead 52-50. So I don't know if that's going final or not. We'll get you an update on that.
If you have Fordham, you want that to go final as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Overtime, not your friend.
No, you just don't. Well, but and don't give him a 3-shot foul. I don't think you have to worry about that one. Because if it lands on 4, you still get the money with Fordham.
Mm-hmm.
I did not play that basketball game, so I can't jinx anybody on that one. Okay, let's look at the Padres, who have had, well, it's been quite an off season for the Padres. And look, there is reason for optimism here, but I don't know about this year. And the more I'm looking at this, I'm getting tempted to play the under on the win total. Because their rotation stinks, okay? They got Joey Lucchese and a bunch of guys. And the bullpen might not be as good as it was last year because Brad Hand isn't there anymore. They've still got two very good relievers in Kirby Yates and Craig Stammen. But behind that, I don't know, Matt Strom could be decent. There's still a lot of holes at position players. Second base isn't good. Shortstop is unknown right now, as they'll have the rookie Urias is going to probably play that position. The outfield, I don't know, can Meyer stay in the field? Can Renfro? Renfro's not one of my favorite guys. Margot's got to bounce back from a terrible second season. Yeah, I like third base. I think first base will be good with Hosmer. I like Austin Hedges behind the plate and Mejia, wherever he ends up. But there's still a lot of holes in the team, Teddy.
There's a lot, but one of the things that you have to recognize if you're betting any future on the Padres this year, particularly when it comes to the season win total, the team you see in April is not going to be the team you see after the All-Star break. You know, obviously you talk about Tatis, who isn't expected to come up right away necessarily, but he'll be there. When you look at it's a really young staff, you know.
Yes.
I know Erland's 28. He feels young. Of course, he has a ERA over 6 as a starter last year. They're talking about him as a number 2 starter this year, so that's a concern. And then, you know, yeah, I mean, Lucchesi was what? He was a double-A guy before last
really
year.
He's really good. I mean, he's got a confusing delivery, but it's an easy delivery for him, evidently. Mm-hmm. Despite all these moving parts, his mechanics remain really sound. I was talking to somebody who watched him pitch down in Arizona, and it's like, he really looks good. He's going to be better than he was last year.
But, I mean, the rest of that staff, you know, Erland, they're talking about Lauer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's got 4 AAA starts.
Yeah.
And it depends on him as a number 3 starter. But what does this team look like in August and September?
Yeah.
They might look very, very different. And
well, that's the thing. Tatis is going to be up soon. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy who, he's not spending, he'll open the year in the minors, but he's going to be up real quickly. And Tatis changes everything right away. So I mean, if the Padres do bring him up and do put him right in the lineup on the left side of the infield with Machado, now you're talking about you've got some thunder at the plate.
But it's at Petco where thunder goes to die.
No, not for righty hitters, though. Right? No, that's not a bad ballpark to pull the ball in. You know, they've made a few configuration changes.
Sure, you can hit it down the line and get it out.
Yep.
You know, you can hit a long fly ball down the line and it has a chance to carry. But anything that you hit to the alleys, you know.
Well, fine, go play gap to gap. Because, you know, they're the one team that shouldn't be focusing on launch angle.
Sure.
Hit the ball, make contact, put the ball in play. Because you can do some damage offensively in a ballpark like that. Because it's a big pasture out there. I mean, if you place the ball in right center field, you're going to get extra bases on a frequent basis at Petco. The ball rolls to the wall, you might get a triple. So there's ways to put runs on the board there. And the team did score more last year.
Sure. I mean, they're supposed to be playing in the style that the Royals played in when the Royals went to back-to-back World Series. But, you know, my biggest issue with the Padres is that I can't figure out how to make money with them. You know, I don't look at him as an over team. I don't look at him as an under team. I don't look at him as a bet-on team. And this rotation ensures they're not going to be a good bet against team because you're not laying these huge prices on any of their starters. So it's not a team that you're going to be cashing these plus 180 tickets against on a regular basis. I don't know what to do with the Padres. My initial inclination with San Diego going into week one is to pass.
And that's what I'm going to do on the total. You know, I think it's a little high, but it's not too high. So that I still like the Diamondbacks under more, and I don't think the Adam Jones trade moved the needle at all for them because he can't play the outfield. The Giants are really not good. Okay, so that Padres total, even though I don't think they're that much improved yet from last year. I think they will be, but not yet. But I still can't see value in the under, even with the total going up as much as it did.
Sure, I'm not in love with the Rockies either. You know, and we talk
no,
about
I think
teams
the
division.
I think the Rockies are good. I don't know what to do with the division. In fact, that's what worries me about the Diamondbacks under is that the whole division might be down.
Well, you know what to do with the division. Who wins the NL West every year?
The Dodgers.
Thank you.
But even they've got problems going in.
Sure, but they're the best team in the division.
Yeah, bad division this year. I think it's going to be the worst of the three divisions in the National League. Central's loaded. Mm. The East is loaded. Both those divisions could pick up a lot of wins at the expense of the West.
Sure, those West Coast teams, you know, we always think about the East Coast teams traveling west and having the rough road trips. This might be a whole lot of West Coast teams traveling east having rough road trips this year.
I think you've got You got a bunch of good teams, the East and Central, and not so much in the West. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We will get to the Warriors and Rockets. Haven't touched on them yet, but they're playing tonight. That's our marquee matchup next.
The Las Vegas Sports Line.
With John Lyons from Lyons Physical Therapy. So why are physical therapists often the best option to see after you get hurt?
Dave, we specialize in musculoskeletal disorders, which essentially means injuries to muscle, bone, and soft tissue, which are the majority of injuries. So we can identify what the pain source is and if an appropriate referral needs to be made to, say, an orthopedic surgeon, a neurologist, a pain management specialist. So we can do an in-depth screen of the injury and then refer it out to an appropriate medical provider if necessary.
LyonsPTLV.com, 702-476-0222. At MJ Christie's, you're not dealing with a chain. You're dealing with a locally owned establishment that's been here for years and years. And one of the things you guys pride yourself on, Cliff Miller, that's community involvement.
We are deeply involved. Our company is Vegas born, and we're Vegas strong. And what makes Vegas so strong is all the charitable issues that need to be addressed. And anywhere we can, we try to join hand in hand and lift this community up.
MJ Christensen, something special for the love of your life. Located at Boca Park.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
NBA second season will be coming shortly. Right now, they take a back seat to the NCAA tournament and these conference tournaments, March Madness being the main event. But we've got a good one in the NBA tonight. We don't want to bypass this game, Teddy. The Warriors taking on the Rockets. And look, I mean, it's these are the best regular season games when these two get together because they are the two teams that people look at and say, well, they could be the Western Conference finalists.
Yeah, and I mean, Houston's was a team that I didn't have a lot of belief that the Rockets were going to be at the stage they are right now, at this stage of the campaign. They have overachieved in my mind and have gotten much better. And boy, they made, you know, even though Fareed's still hurt. That's a pickup. Him and Shumpert, two guys that are absolutely, for a team that desperate for any kind of defense. That'll make a big difference. Of course, when it comes to regular season meetings, well, Houston's won them all so far this season. They got a chance for a series sweep.
That's not bad.
Against the team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year and has been their toughest contender in the West. And of course, to tell you that it is not a playoff game, very clear. Kevin Durant's not suiting up for Golden State.
Oh, yeah. I the Warriors are still, they're waiting for this for the playoffs to begin. And all this infighting will end, and Kerr won't be saying nasty things about Draymond Green, and they're still going to be the team to beat.
Or it'll all implode, and Kerr will be saying nasty things about Draymond Green, and they'll be out in the second round. Which sometimes
if that happens.
But. Which sometimes happens.
Oh, yeah, look. It can happen. And, you know, all good things can and must come to an end. So who knows? Maybe it'll happen to the Warriors this season. That actually would, to me, make the NBA playoffs more interesting.
Far
if the Warriors were to get knocked out in the second round, it's like, okay, now I'm watching. Because otherwise, you know.
I mean, Golden State, you know, they just lost at home to Phoenix. You know, they I mean, that's the level they're playing at right now.
That's not good.
No. Although, I mean, Suns have won four of their last five.
I don't know why they're doing this.
All the lottery teams are. It's the craziest year that I've ever seen when it comes to NBA lottery teams. It really is. Because you have the teams that, in theory, should be fighting for ping pong balls, and they're all winning.
Quick odds check before we go to Wager Talk. Before we do that, WagerTalk.com, what's happening there?
Oh, well, I mean, it's conference tournament week.
Busy, huh?
Yeah, exactly. NBA action, college hoops action, big ticket tonight. It's been a pretty good month so far in
good,
March,
good.
Dave. So see if we can keep it rolling over at Wager Talk this evening.
Keep it rolling. All right, here's mythical odds. Knicks' next home game is on Sunday against LeBron and the Lakers. What is the price on whether there will be a sell the team chant that comes out of the crowd?
I sure hope it is.
-10,000.
I hope it never stops.
That was awesome.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to have any sympathy for billionaires in general.
You know? Especially him, though.
It's like, and jerky billionaires who inherited off from their dad.
He's the worst. This guy. You realize
he couldn't be more tone deaf.
Look, I've never met him. I'm sure I never will. I am fairly well convinced that if not for the fact that he inherited all these properties and dollars from his father, James Dolan would be an abject failure at anything he tried.
I'm confident of that.
Yeah.
Very confident. However, in the meanwhile, he owns the Knicks, and every Knicks fan is hostage to whatever James Dolan wants to do.
How sensitive can you get, though? He's throwing a guy out because he yelled, sell the team? I mean, if the guy cursed at him or said something about his family, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Sell the team?
Yeah, and oh, it was an orchestrated political event, he said.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Dolan, sell the team.
We got the nation's number one snowflake is the owner of the New York Knicks. And he's it. You are, put a big snowflake over Madison Square Garden where the Knicks are playing because he's it. Sell the team, and he wants to throw the guy out. Wow,
he gets to get away with it because he's a billionaire owner. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
Yep. Well, that's his team.
No, but that's just it. It should be New York's team.
Oh, well, no. No, it should be, but it's not. Not with
him.
And he doesn't care about winning anyway. He really does. He doesn't give a damn. All right, let's go to our LPT. Well, how much time do we have?
About a minute.
A minute. LPT play of the day time.
It's the LPT play of the day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy. Your 5-star rated specialists.
All right, Teddy. Take it away. What do you like?
We were just talking about this Rockets Warriors game. We have Golden State coming off a loss, right?
Yeah.
7-14 ATS coming off a loss this season. Give me Houston minus a 3.5 against the overrated and playing poorly Golden State Warriors.
No show tomorrow because we are on, well, we would be on, but we've got UNLV in San Diego State, which should be a thrilling basketball game. Two good rivals battling it out in the Mount West tournament. So we're preempted tomorrow. We'll be back on Friday with Jason Simple from CG Sportsbooks. Thanks to Jeff Davis from Caesars Entertainment for Teddy Covers. Jared Justice, I'm Dave Cook, and we hope you'll have a great weekend or a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you Friday on the Las Vegas Sportsline.